Did I put the clothes in the dryer?
I hope they don't think I was
sleeping. I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I forgot
my brain shut
off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise. There's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
Hello everyone, this is Ryan and you are listening to the Vegan Report. Today, a solo episode. I don't record many solo episodes, but recently I got into the rabbit hole of the backyard eggs debate and felt compelled to offer my take. It seems every vegan influencer has given it a go. It is framed in one simple question: are backyard eggs ethical or not? Or can you still call yourself vegan if you eat backyard eggs, eggs from your backyard hen? Now, that is my problem right there. The very framing of this debate. While we are wasting time debating the fringe philosophical issue of backyard eggs, we are missing out on an opportunity to denounce the very legality of owning backyard chickens. Under our watch, without much pushback, we have let states and municipalities, suburbs, and even important urban centers change zoning laws to legalize backyard chickens and other forms of livestock farming. Let me read you something Katie Shee Mormino has written on her very popular blog, The Chicken Chick. As of 2011, 90% of U.S. cities allowed raising of backyard chickens, including New York, Denver, and Los Angeles. In fact, a follower of mine on Facebook kept chickens on the veranda of his Manhattan's Upper West Side apartment in a custom-built coop that was including as a selling feature for a $1.2 million asking price. She adds, "Sadly, many municipalities still don't get it, including mine until very recently. Over a period of several years, I defended two cease and desist letters and a lawsuit brought by the towns seeking to force me to get rid of my chickens. I ultimately beat City Hall, and with the lawsuit in the rearview mirror, I led the charge to legalize chickens in my town, succeeding in spite of persistent political resistance." Now, Katie, you should know that it's not just politicians that oppose backyard chickens. Their constituents do not like the idea either. According to a 2013 USDA study, only 4 out of 10 respondents were in favor of allowing chickens in their communities and would not mind if their neighbors owned chickens. An understandable position, given that backyard chickens can be very noisy and the source of just foul odors. Also, over half of respondents, 55.6%, believed that chickens in urban areas will lead to more illnesses in humans. Oh, and that is one frightening prospect. I remember raising this issue with Colin, a microbiologist and one of the first guests of my show, I think from episode 2 of the Vegan Report, And Liz White, the leader of the Animal Protection Party of Canada, take a listen to the scary things they had to say.
They detect which ones are the males, and they throw them into a wood chipper. The male chickens are just shredded to pieces from day one. And I don't think people realize that that's 50% of the chicken population. So even if you're going with the backyard chicken thing, you're still killing a lot of chickens.
From the get-go, yes.
From the start, before you even purchase that chicken, for every one chicken you purchased, another one has already died.
I
think even then, we've had a lot of issues with disease outbreaks. I do definitely foresee I wouldn't be surprised if one of these days there's a city that does allow backyard chickens that says that we need to, everybody who has a chicken, you need to call them because we have a huge avian influenza outbreak. A lot of these larger chicken facilities are, huge, areas where these diseases can proliferate, and that will absolutely spread into these neighborhood backyard chickens. I've heard some instances of avian influenza jumping from poultry to humans. I think as time goes on, we're going to see more and more cases of that. And we're going to see a lot of instances where that happens, where people do have backyard chickens. I think it's going to be a huge, huge thing.
Huge problem, yes. And then, of course, they will have to get rid of them, not in the most humane way, if there is such
a... No, they burn them alive. They drown them in foam. Oh. They do all sorts of just... Because you have to kill, countless numbers of chickens. So they do it in the most economically feasible way possible. And that's often by flooding. I think the most common way to do a mass culling is they will flood it with foam that firefighters use. I can't imagine that's that can't be very enjoyable for the chickens, I'm sure.
Of course.
But yeah, it happens.
There were laws passed in many Quebec cities here that authorize people to keep chickens in their backyard. But that, don't you think there is a risk of contamination with this whole, avian influenza thing? Are we playing with fire by allowing people to keep chickens in their backyard?
I actually think we're playing with fire, yes. We were able to get the city of Toronto to back off the bylaw that we're allowing chickens in the backyard. It was a big fight because people wanted those chickens. And, it's a, like, you think about it, just you rent them. You don't think, you rent these little animals and you rent the housing for them and you stick them in your backyard and you love them for a few months until they stop laying. Then you send them back and nobody knows what happens to them. The owners of some of the rented chicken facilities say, we take care of your chickens and love them and you'll get your same chickens back. But nobody really knows. And, and beyond that, that avian influenza is very, very contagious. And you can't stop other birds from coming into your backyard with the chickens. And, and that's how the contamination happens. So the city of Toronto decided to ban it altogether, which was great. But many other communities are going on as though nothing's happening. And, the problem with avian influenza is it's transmitting to other animals and it's been transmitted to people from animals. It hasn't transmitted from people to people yet, but this is a virus that is evolving. And somehow we think that it's all good and that nothing's going to happen. And we could be in a situation like COVID all over again, And much more serious because there are no vaccines for it. And I think we're just playing with fire. So yeah, I would recommend every community in Canada ban backyard chickens.
Those backyard chickens are not only a public health crisis in the making, they are also a magnet for wildlife predators, coyotes, foxes, wolves, and bears that can harm your pets, your children, and yourself. Because of backyard chickens, those once rare encounters with wildlife predators have been on the rise. Of course, the bleeding heart animal lovers we are cannot help but think that those encounters are most often fatal for wildlife. The headline of one Telegram article from June reads, "Got a wild animal damaging your property? It's legal to kill it in Massachusetts." Further, the article specifies some examples of when this law is used include when wild animals damage crops, tree nurseries, or beehives, or when they kill livestock or backyard chickens, which count as property. Apart from wildlife protection, there are many more compelling reasons for animal rights activists to advocate for the criminalization of backyard chickens or any form of urban farming involving livestock. What about the fact that this has become a new lucrative market for big ag? As activists, we try hard to make animal farmers' profit margins even thinner than they currently are, but they have found in backyard chickens a new promising source of revenue. According to Fact.mr, the global chicken coop market is estimated to reach a valuation of $997.7 million in 2025, and further expand to end up at $1.59 billion by the end of 2035. This is a rocket growth. This is money in the pockets of chicken breeders, of insect farmers. Yes, that's a thing. And insect chicken treats are now in every pet shop, you know, food distributors, and more related businesses. In North America, backyard chickens have been commodified to the point of becoming one more item you can purchase online and have shipped by mail to your doorstep. Again, Liz White, leader of the Animal Protection Party of Canada.
What is also shocking to many people is that we mail chicks out to people who want backyard chickens. So we put them in Canada Post and mail them. And you look at this whole situation, not only is it cruel and ridiculous because the eggs cost about $2 an egg, it is also the cruelty and the insanity of it.
What do you mean by mailing chicks?
Well, they put them in a box, they seal the box, they put a stamp on it, and they put it in Canada Post. Chicks, live chicks.
And is it only an Ontario thing? Is there a limit to how many
It's
days?
Canada Post. Canada Post does it, required to do it.
And they could spend days in that box.
Well, they indicate that there's live, something live in the box. So it's supposed to get moving. But you can imagine we had a strike. It happened at a time when the chicks aren't moving, but we had a strike. If that had happened in the summertime, the chicks would have died. They would have simply starved to death or suffocated. And so you look at this thing and you think that's just cruelty. There's no way around it. You can't do this, and yet it's accepted as a standard way to get chicks. We've tried to fight it, but it hasn't, we haven't been successful at this point. It's pretty shocking what we do to animals, isn't it?
Add to that how chickens are being neglected and abandoned by their owners. We've been hearing about stories of cruelty against cats and dogs for more than a century. The SPCA is 200 years old, and we still need it. Do you think the general public treats pet chickens any better? Or a better question, are they even able to care decently for chickens? And the answer is a resounding no, because in most cases, they do not even have access to veterinary healthcare, which is the bare minimum a responsible owner should be able to provide. I live in a place where it is legal to keep backyard chickens. It has been legal for years now. But the closest veterinary clinic that accepts chickens.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Is hours away. I called the biggest veterinary hospital in the province of Quebec to get some more information. They're located in a city called Saint-Hyacinthe. Take a listen.
Welcome to the Centre Hospitalier Universitaire Vétérinaire de l'Université de Montréal, located in Saint-Hyacinthe. For an emergency concerning a dog, a cat, or an exotic animal, dial 1.
Wait while I transfer your call.
So, in this case, chickens are considered an exotic animal.
Service d'urgence, bonjour.
Oh, yes, hello.
Hi.
My name is Ryan, and I'm calling to get some information about the service you could provide for backyard chickens.
Oh, not much. I can try and help you since I have chickens myself.
Sure.
But this is not something we do very often.
Okay, because I was referred to you, I was told that...
Yes, everybody refers us everything because everybody thinks we do everything, but we don't. I can help you.
Of course. So I guess my first question is, do you know of any veterinarian that specializes in backyard chickens?
There's no specialty for that, but there are some vets that do take care of them, like you want them to come to your house?
Well, sure, or I can travel to them.
Okay, hold on just a second. And where are you located?
I'm located in...
Okay. Okay, there's nothing really quite close to you. I have something in Sherbrooke. I have... No, that's North Shore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sherbrooke is like maybe 3 hours away from me.
Yeah. I have some, like, on the North Shore, like Le Garda, you would have to take the Traversier. Mm-hmm. Way too far. Laval. Is Shawinigan closer?
I mean, sure.
There's nothing quite close to you. What seems to be the problem with your chicken?
One of the chicken, the hen, I think she has what they call egg binding.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do. I read online that you can put them in a bath with some Epsom salt, and I did that. And I don't know how many times we can do that and if there's another solution.
There is no easy solution for egg binding. Let me just check. I have one resource.
No problem. Please take your time.
Okay, so it says warm bath and you can apply KY jelly. On the in French it's cloate.
Yeah.
On the where the eggs comes out from. I'm not sure in English how to spell that. And do you feel the egg when you palpate next to the cloate?
I did not examine the hen.
Okay, you can try and give her a little bit of water with a dropper or syringe, mm-hmm. very slowly, so as not to drown her. You can apply KY jelly to the vent to help and lubricate the vent to ease the passage, if it's that. No oil, but KY is okay. It says to not massage the vent or the abdomen, so as not to break the eggshell. Put her in a crate in a dark, quiet room. Okay. But if it's really that, you're gonna have to take the road if you want to save the chicken. They can die from egg binding if it's that.
Okay.
But there's no vet clinic really close to you guys.
Yes, I understand. It's surprising because it's legal here to have backyard chickens, but then there are no veterinarians that will accept a chicken.
Yeah. So there's not a lot of doctors that do backyard chicken. A lot of doctors will do like commercial chickens.
Yes.
But these usually will not do backyard chicken because of biosecurity. So it's unfortunately quite hard to find doctors that will treat backyard chickens, just like exotic animals like rabbits and ferrets and stuff like that.
Okay. And
And it's even harder when you're in a region than where there are less vet to start with.
I see. And am I the only one in that situation?
Nope. Oh. No, I do have backyard chicken and I have no vet for my chicken. I do it by myself.
Okay, so we're many people in that situation. I heard about vets that can travel to your house. But how much does that cost? And is that service available and how much does that cost?
We don't do home visits here. I'm an employee of the small animal clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see some chicken inside, but there is no, regular appointments go in a month, approximately. I could see you in emergency, but it's about $300 for the exam, plus the care. I'm not sure if the doctor I have today does see chickens. I'm not sure, I would have to check, but we don't do home visits. The department that do home visit is the department for the cows, but I have no information about that. I would have to You would have to call back most probably tomorrow to speak with a technician that works in this department.
Okay. So I will monitor the situation and see. Yes. Thank you much for your support.
I'm so very sorry about that.
No. Not a problem. I understand.
Good luck.
Thank you. Have a nice
day.
Bye-bye. And then there is the abandonment issue. Although hens are legal to keep, not the same could be said about roosters. And since differentiating the two sexes is very difficult, many owners find themselves mistakenly raising unwanted roosters. There's also the fact that hens stop laying eggs after 2 years, which makes them automatically undesirable. What happens to all those unwanted roosters and undesirable hens? Well, sanctuary founders can answer that question. Listen to Catherine, the founder of Safe Sanctuary, which closed its doors recently. In the recent years, many cities across Quebec legalized having backyard chickens. Did you feel like this was a terrible decision from them? Because I bet, you know, it increased the number of people wanting to, the number of chickens and roosters that, you know, are abandoned and need a home.
I was furious because I thought it was another way and that came from the government's encouragement to say, yeah, get a couple of chicken, you know, to keep you busy and occupied during COVID. And knowing how people are, they're fun, it's interesting for the first couple of whatever weeks, month, and then what do we do with them in the winter? What do we do with them on the long term? Oh, we don't lay eggs anymore. What do we do with them? We bring them to the sanctuary, we leave them in the street. I thought it was totally irresponsible to encourage people to have small rooster coops or to have rooster, chicken coops in their backyard, because it was just having like a toy to play with, and it wasn't on long term. And it happened. We had tons and tons of requests to take in hens. And roosters are another problem. Roosters are not allowed by most municipalities. They can't. People that have a chicken coop could have a rooster to go with the hens. They're great protectors. They're great. The hens love to have a protector with them. But they're not allowed. People are not allowed. So that's another point against roosters. People think they're aggressive. They're not aggressive. They actually, when they run at you, they usually want to be held, and people don't believe them. But roosters have a big problem on their hands. Actually, I'll tell you a story about it happened this week. I got fooled, I'm sorry to say. I had a young man calling me that he had a hen in his apartment and he had to place her because the owner was going to throw him out in the street. So, long story, he was supposed to bring me her in the afternoon. He ended up bringing her at 10 o'clock in the evening. And I usually go to bed at 8:30. So by 10 o'clock, I was really tired. I placed her in the one of our chicken coop that we have. And I didn't really look at her. She looked a little bit different, but, and it's only in the morning that I looked at her and realized it wasn't a her, it's a him. So I now have, after having placed everybody, all my roosters, all everybody, I now have another rooster to place. And I can't believe I got taken in because he knew it was a rooster. I'm sure he got kicked. He was going to get kicked out because that rooster does his co-roo-roo every morning. And not just morning. So I have another rooster to place.
Lastly, if you needed any more reason to support a ban on backyard chickens, let me offer this opinion. I believe that the backyard chickens economy is doing the devil's work of banalizing animal exploitation, promoting the notion that animal exploitation can be humane and sustainable, reinforcing the status of chickens as egg layers and meat, and re-stimulating people's appetite for chicken products. In summary, I believe it is great PR for the poultry industry. Does eating eggs from your backyard chickens vegan? This question just accepts the premise that owning backyard chickens in the first place is acceptable. Maybe if you own lots of lands in a rural area where farming already takes place, but this idea that vegans from the city or the suburbs can totally adopt rescue hens, put them in their small backyards, and in fact we should give that a cool name like micro sanctuary, is totally wrong. It means we have accepted that this is the new normal, that this cultural battle was lost, that the Katies of this world have won, despite the popular rejection of this practice. To end this episode, I still want to give a direct answer to the question of backyard eggs being vegan or not. For that, let me pass the mic to Nigel Osborne and Julian, the founder and executive director of egg-true.com. Take a listen.
Comes to eggs, it's what happens more is that people come forward and say, oh, but I have backyard chickens and I'm nice to the chickens, so I have good eggs. So that comes out first, and that really isn't helping in our argument, because from our point of view, it is still exploiting the animals. You still use an animal that has been bred to lay eggs more than is necessary for them in nature to, like, you know, keep their group and their species alive. So you're still abusing them, and you're still helping the egg industry making eggs look like natural and nice and like cute little food, you know, from the cute little hen.
Julie touched on backyard hens, and I think that's probably the one scenario where you'll get people advocating for more than anything else in terms of this humane sort of scenario. You know, look, do I think a hen living in a small backyard with a coop and places they can, you know, dust bathe and peck off the ground and walk around, like, that are, yes, inevitably going to lay an egg, and the person who owns the home is going to eat that egg, is that better than, you know, being in a battery cage? Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, it is better. But again, as I may have alluded to earlier, you know, we can often discuss the issue of treatment. And that's what this is about. When you bring up the issue of humane, it is an issue of treatment, which means regardless of the scenario, you are accepting that treating an animal as a commodity, is using them as a resource for the sole benefit or utility of us humans, you've already crossed that line. And now you're into this discussion about treatment. So the issue of use is really, you know, the treatment compounds the initial harm. The primary harm is use. And like Julie said, you know, yeah, they're in a backyard, but they're still going to be laying an egg every 24 to 30 hours because they have 10,000 years of human intervention acting as an artificial agent for natural selection. And here we are in the 21st century, they're laying 350 up to 500 eggs in 18 months, which is insanity. And, you know, I have this discussion on social media with people sometimes, and I always say to people, why did you get a backyard hen? Is it for you or is it for the hen? If it's for the hen, as you say, then my recommendation is to find an avian vet, take your hen to the avian vet and have a subcutaneous hormonal implant, and they're readily available, or so in Canada and the US. There's issues in the US with the FDA and limitations on these hormonal implants, but they will prevent that hen from laying eggs for months and months. It isn't cheap, but, you know, I mean, we all know a visit to the vet with our cat or dog can end up in $300 or $400 just like that. So this is really no different. And that will result in egg laying cessation. And you talk to people on farm sanctuaries where they do this to prevent egg impaction, to limit the risks of ovarian cancer, which I forgot to mention in the life of a hen. Julie mentioned it earlier. So thank you for reminding me on that. Ovarian cancer, they have the highest rates of spontaneously occurring ovarian cancer of any species in the world. And that is because of their manipulated reproductive systems. So this implant will help them eliminate egg laying for months on an end. It has to be renewed every so often. But if the hen and their welfare is of primary consideration, which they always say they are, and it's really not, they're after the eggs, without the guilt. They want guilt-free eggs, but it's, you know, and farm sanctuary workers will tell you time and time again, the difference in the animal's behavior, personality, is dramatically is altered once these hormonal implants are put in, because this constant laying, this constant hormonal activity in their bodies to lay eggs almost daily takes a toll. I mean, and look at a pregnant human being, a woman, look what she goes through in 9 months of gestation. Look at the postpartum depression sometimes that they can endure after giving birth. So look at all the hormonal flux that goes on in a human being's body, woman's body during, you know, that period of time. Think about it for a small animal who's doing it every 30, 36 hours for, you know, for the rest of their lives, potentially. So to stop that would really be to the benefit from their, from a health perspective and from their own well-being. So the answer is no, there is no humane scenario. It isn't humane. And you're still crossing that in what is in my mind, an impenetrable moral barrier with, you cannot cross that line into accepting the idea that we can use other living beings for our own benefit.
Thank you everyone for listening. I kindly invite you to share this podcast with the vegans you know. Let's encourage more people to take action. Again, thank you so much for caring, and I will see you next Tuesday for a new episode.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.